Now, this morning I told you guys, the only one I quoted this to was Tim. I said, Tim, I got a verse. I'm trying to understand it. So I passed it off on the chapter following the verse, which is King Solomon's reign and all the victory he had and the wisdom. So I'm thinking, okay, this first part, I'm leaving that out. I mean, the verse just showed me where he wanted me to begin reading. That one's not for me. It says, and David slept with his fathers. So I wanted to go on to the son's reign. That one was mine, not the other one. Anyway, I quoted it to Tim. He looked as bewildered as I did. I tried to explain it away, but I didn't catch the meaning of it until I come out of this, because he was preparing me for it. I waited a long time for this day when I'd be this close to the end. I'm not leaving the planet. That's not the one that's dying. I can't tell you how excited I am to be close enough to know that lest I die, it's going to make a trade-off. And I get him. And he gets the rest of me. How many's ever heard a place like this talked about? Let's see your hand. I thought that's where revival was. How many's ever been in a real revival that changed a city? I thought that was where revival was. So I guess nobody's talking that way, because our generation, maybe a whole lot of people, hasn't visited that place. Again, does the word desperate mean anything? Let me tell you about God's grace, can I? You have no more chance for working for any of it. Then you do not dying. It's inevitable. We may not all sleep the sleep if you're here at the moment of change. But nobody escapes this body. He said flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. It's not going over with me whether the trump blows. After I'm done, her blows while I'm standing here. It's not going in with me. Everybody gets to face that. You have no more to earn anything. Then you do not die. It's as far as the south is from the west and north and east. And I hope I didn't get them diagonal there. Something like that. It can never be earned. Our strong people with their own ambitions would get it. Can't be. Yet this place is so precious. And every unreachable place that human beings can't attain to, didn't belong to our fallen state. Every place in God, everything that is or ever will be, has been redeemed for us by this man, Jesus. And to approach a place like that with anything but yourself is about the cheapest thing a person can do. Yet, when you live your life in the knowledge of the grace, but you don't see his standing too strong in any of it. Things that he's declared to set you free from sometimes, they hang around and hang on. And although we know in respect to the Word what He says about this position and the mystery of faith that's been laid out by everyone, we try to understand that this holy place is attainable only by faith. But then, a lot of times we see so little absolute invasion into the realm that would require the supernatural that we sometimes wonder if we're really missing or something, or why we can't attain to something free more freely than we've been attaining to it. Repeat that all back. How many understands? If you do, raise your hand. I feel much better. Well, I couldn't stand there and look at this bright place and know that everything has been delivered into the Father's hands through this grace. I can't stand there and admire this bright place and not go swimming in it. Come on. This place of grace. Well, you can go into a city like Jesus walked in triumphant, knowing who He was, knowing who His Father was. Why do you think that the last person in the priest's mind baptized Jesus? Because the law and the prophets was still John. So he had to baptize him. Why do you think he did it?
Well, he's baptizing in the baptism of repentance.
Some theologians say they was preparing Jesus' body to be offered. So that's what baptism was. Oh, then why was John baptizing other people? Jesus had to be baptized into our death. So this is what the priest did. That's why he had to wait till after that baptism to be filled with the Holy Spirit, in order for him to walk and preach that power and authority in the kingdom. We were baptized into his death, and he was resurrected. And he was a shadow, a type of death of his own crucifixion to take place 3 years later. But it gave him what he needed to walk in the authority of the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets was till John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, every man presseth into it. That's what gave him, the first man to be born spiritually alive on this planet, the right to receive the same Holy Spirit we received after his baptism, because that was the origin of the power he ministered in. He came into the city with the same one that's living in you. Had the same limitations you did as a man. Difference was, he was baptized into our death so that later on we could be baptized into his. Hallelujah. Woo! Can't you just see that grace? What's it looking for? How about the closest children's hospital? I need a lot of little human beings born in a state of innocence, because I got somebody with me that wants to see them. I got somebody with me that wants the parents of these he wants to see to know how much he not only loves them, but loves the parents. Jesus had the way of stopping a funeral procession. But we got us a place called done. We got a place of grace that's so sacred that to attain those things and hand them to you cheapens even the thought of it, if you're thinking that some shiny thing you've done can ever replace his operation of grace. I'm finding out truly I was born unto good works, created unto them. And I make no mistake, good works didn't create me. that were created for them. Well, God loves you so much. You think He wants you circling that perimeter of grace? You know what's wrong with chocolate pies? The taste. It's the taste. You can't just taste it. You know what's wrong with the grace? You can't just taste it. The people I've known that's been suddenly used by grace come back babbling like they fell off a cliff.
I don't understand it. He just came. I didn't pray. I didn't do nothing. He just came. So God doesn't want us praying or anything. It's just the way I lean to grace. I make sure I don't pray. I put big earrings in my ears just to make everybody know I'm free. It's not going to get you anywhere.
He loves you so much. You think I'm talking out of an experience? You hang around to find out. He loves you so much. When you're having trouble operating in something that's yours, He loves you so much that He'll give you keys. He'll give you keys that can help you get to something you possibly don't understand. Keys like praying in tongues, the revelation gift. Keys like private worship, the all-inclusive presence gift. First baptizes your spirit, wall to wall, and then your senses get dosed in it. Baptism of senses, then it goes for geography. Can't even get on the phone. Can't even walk in a meeting and say something, and God is not there to begin to do it. Private worship, a presence gift. And then there's the fasting, when literally your britches get too small. You get too big for your britches. A little fasting gift that can rampant running out of head flesh, bring it back under tow, under subjection, subordination to the operation of your spirit, to bring things back into perspective, even when you can't reach out and grab something that's so free that it eludes the understanding of it. He gave you keys that you can position yourself from where you are to where He said you can be. You know, when you're suspended out there in the Spirit and you're listening and worshiping, a picture forms from nowhere inside. You see it? You know it didn't come from your mind. But all of a sudden, that's part of a revelation gift. You understand something that you've been reaching for. I saw myself waist deep in unanswered prayer. Waist deep. I was trying everything I knew. It wasn't that I'd not learned. Been taught some by the Holy Spirit. was using what I knew. I bind this in Jesus' name. Now maybe I'll loose it. I loose this. Okay, I'm going to fast till it goes away. Okay. I'm going to speak to it. Your prayers, you get answered. And I thank God for the building blocks. I thank God for all those things. I get more prayers answered than most. Should I say this? That there's some I'm swimming in. Unanswered. Sounds waist deep. That's trying everything normal, you know. Everything that worked before. Except to hit one of those stupid things. What do we call them? What? Impasse. I just wanted you to say it. So when they were first labeled that, it's labeled that when people in prayer would hit different things, that either else they took it out or it would take them out. So we called it an impasse. In other words, it was where you've been before and never got past. So what are you going to do? Stay in there, fight, or turn back again? So all of those things was taking place. Then I saw grace come. This is about the only way I can explain it. Before the eternities of time, He had this place for me. Had one for you. He positioned me in a place. I understand a lot about it now. He's called me to doctrine. And because the age I live in, media, and a bunch of things. Like you heard me talk about it. I came home. I came home to find out these things. So here's this place. From the foundations of the world for me. Like you. In the sovereign attribute that God possesses, you have to understand this about Him. Does He know what I'll be doing 10 years from now in 1 minute? Yes, He does. He absolutely has that capability. After all, He's God. Yes, He does. He'll know.
Well, how will He know?
Well, this is the miracle of it. He'll know what it is, even though it's up to me as to what it will be.
Well, how can He do that?
Now you can say that even more. Well, He's God. Well, He's got the power of a nitrogen-cooled computer. He can calculate to the end of your life at the end of each thought before you can think the next one. What if I married taffy instead of candy? You'd be doing this. Oh, yeah? What if I married Susie? You'd be doing this. He knows. Recently, a friend of mine lost a brother. Blood brother. He burned in a fire. While she had been trying to get him saved and believing for him for some time. And far as she knows, she heard no other news at the time of his death except how he was. But then God makes sure that she knew. So here the chaplain of the fire department came and told her what a neighbor had told him. That for the last week or so he had been over to the neighbor several times. And he had been talking to him about God. And he had got born again. And course, her question partly was, and if he just got saved, why did he die in the fire? And I said, listen to me. If God could have saved him from the fire, he would have. But he couldn't, because he couldn't find enough to save him with. That is, from the fire. How could that be? God has the power that he can run a check on you at the last thought you had. And if he saw him in hell later, then it would tie God's hands and he wouldn't have a chance in the world to get him out now. The way God causes change in our lives is he moves on people. And the people will come to us and introduce systems of thoughts that receive God. And God will keep checking and coming back until he has you secure. He'll keep sending people and sending them and sending them, just because one day you drop them off in a place called done and say, there's one thing I will not do is go on to heaven without them. So let's talk about this place that he has for me. Here it is. He provided it for me. Hallelujah. Obviously, cities are saved there because I'm crazy over it. Because I can't go on without putting the salvation of cities, marrying them. Can't do it. Don't have to. Don't have to. Don't have to. Give me cities lest I die. Don't have to. Don't have to live without it anymore. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't have to. So, it's included in there. What he has for me is there. So here I'm stuck here. This deep. And prayers that aren't being answered. This deep. And all of this is there. And I want to go there. So I keep talking to the stuff here. Leave me alone. If you don't turn loose in my rib, I'm going to deal with you. Who's got my feet? Turn loose of my feet. I want to go on. So I talked to that stuff. He repositioned my believing. Woo! You talk about getting grace. Grace for prayer. Hey, it's no problem for me to go there now. To that new place he has for me. Stretch myself out there and worship God and thank him and pray like a house on fire, knowing that I'm there and those things can't hold me down anymore. So he did the classical grace thing with me. Go 25 feet that way. Now look at the people. When I fell in the hole and crawled out, I saw this place. I received grace for it. Glory to God. Took my faith there. Started worshiping him, believing. Everything became there. Hallelujah. The only problem is I'm still waist deep over here. So what God did, he come by grace, didn't earn a penny of it. He took my spirit and he come over here. He left me there in the mire there stuck, but he took my spirit and he brought over here and positioned it here in this place called Dunn. Then he took my spirit and came back and got the rest of me and walked out of it with a prayer from there. A prayer life from there. The mud turned loose on me here. What's goodness? Dodecodus. Did fasting help? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It positioned my old man so good I could see the mud. What did it do to your spirit? It didn't want to stay there. What happened to the rest of you? Went over there? What place are you praying out of? A place called down. I know that I know that I know. You think ours or anything? You think ours or anything? My God, I run towards those things. Best news. And Paul said, nevertheless, as I press toward the prize of the mark of the high call. And the high call?
It must have been apostolic.
God will attach himself to a diversities of tongues person that hasn't even prayed his way into governments or helps. Wasn't apostolic. What's by entering into that verse in Philippians 3, Paul said, is that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. I count all things but dung. And of course, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, concerning the law blameless, which meant it wasn't that he didn't have the nature of sin, he was set free from it, meant you have a motion, a stroke, a crossing of the law. You have a sacrifice. You have a purification time. You have a feast day. And Paul, with diligence personified in the zeal, even reached to the killing of believers. Letters from the high priest, the road to Damascus, where Stephen's intercession to death intercepted Paul. Knocked him on the ground. He wanted to know who it was, and he said, I am he whom you persecute. This guy loved God with all the devil that was in him. God reached down and got him. He got someone that never looked back. He said, I might know him. And being made conformable to his death, if by any means. He says, my desire is the fellowship of his sufferings, to know him. That I might be made conformable to his death. I want a fellowship with Jesus' suffering so I can be made conformable to his death. That if by any means I might attain to the out resurrection from among the dead. Is the word out before resurrection the only place? He wanted to attain to the power Jesus come out of the grave with before the resurrection. He said to attain to that place, I counted all things but done. That I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. It sounds like he wanted to get beat. Sounded like he wanted to be in prison. Sounded like he wanted to be marooned. It sounded like he wanted to suffer. No. Even though they accounted themselves having to be worthy, they glorified God and praised him. For being found worthy to be beat. Wasn't talking about that. Even though some kinds it came with the territory. The fellowship of his sufferings he was talking about is he wanted to know by revelation. Every single thing Jesus suffered and died under the penalty of your sicknesses and diseases and the righteousness from Him having been made sin. The peace He left us that's not of this world. He wanted to be so made, so conformable to His death in the fellowship of His sufferings, that if by any means He might attain to an out resurrection from amongst the dead before the actual resurrection. He said, and in this I press toward the mark of the prize of this high call in Christ Jesus. What He was talking about is attaining a total conformity of all the things Jesus died of, so that He Himself could minister in the power of those things that Jesus had paid such a horrible price for. So, private worship is one of those keys. Seems to be the conduit that causes the love of God to flow from His Spirit to mine. And the part of me that has the capacity, as I've said so many times in the past, to pool or to reservoir the unlimited capacity for the love of God is my new nature. It's made me a partaker of His divine nature. The more He pools that love in my spirit. I've already been through that season of trying to get Him to love me more, which was an impossibility that I didn't understand to exist at that time. No matter how hard I tried, I could not get Him to love me anymore than He already does, because His love was maxed for me the day He laid my penalty on Jesus. It's impossible for Him to love me anymore. How shall He who spared not His own Son, shall He not with Him freely give me all things? He's not asking you to give Him a reason why. He will. How shall He not? He wants you to come up with one reason on His part why He won't do this for you. I already spent my season trying to get Him to love me. It's impossible. He cannot love me more than He already does. The love that was manifested on the cross. However, I have found out how to park myself and start receiving the love that He's already loved me with since the beginning. And one of those conduits is the private worship that causes the free flow of His love to mine. And if you don't think it affects you, look at this quivering mass of protonic flesh here. Could anyone here possibly be having as good a time as I am? Are you understanding that place called Dunn better? Huh? Place called Dunn. Are you understanding it better and better? Once you start positioning yourself there, getting rid of the doubt and the accusations and the hardness of heart and the accusing of God and the blaming of God. And says, yes, yes, I can talk the language. Yeah, but your heart is blaming Him. He could have did something if He wanted to. No, He couldn't, or He would have. He loves you. Boy, when you get all that stuff off of you and start positioning yourself in a place called done, and you worship and you're talking and you're praying and you're acting and you're walking, all speaks of a place that something on the inside says, I have it and I know I do. don't think I don't ask him to help me teach this out slower. Probably a lot more fasting to lose my humor. Climbing out of that hole. I tell you what, I taught my soul to say, all is well. All is well with my soul. Anybody? Please, somebody. There's no prayers Jesus prayed that wasn't answered. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane when he presented his hardest prayer. Sweat was his great drops of blood. The agony, comparable to the place you can't go on from. Stay the same. You had to know. His humanity was being offered with all the sight, hearing, feeling, the emotion. God couldn't help him. Couldn't help him. He separated himself from him. I'm in the Father. He's in me. And I'm here as an individual. But I'm in him. And my part can be separated without changing him. But he cried hardest, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But you think he had a choice? He had to, but one thing for sure. God help anything or anybody that tries to separate you from him. Because Jesus paid a price that nothing would ever have the power to do that. He prayed. He says, I've got to check. He says, I have to check. If it be possible. In other words, if there's any other way that you could save humanity, would you please take that course? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, I didn't learn obedience through suffering in my humanity, not to disobey at this point. Nevertheless, if not, and if so, let this cup pass from me. Just one quick look beyond. I can let it pass. Take a look at humanity. He says, I love them. You love them. You have to drink. Ten billion equations later, there was no way. You bow down here before him today. He loved you. He loved you. He loved you. So now, He's gave you His glory. My glory. I give unto you, He said, that you may know that the Father loves you every bit as much as He loved me. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Principality, power, height, or death, there's nothing that has the power to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Can't separate you from what's yours. Can't separate you from the health He has for you. Not from the blessing. But always keep this in mind. The engine that powers your ministry will be the one that never quits reaching for souls. Hallelujah.